Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Regular Legislative Meeting, Part 2 of 2 Parts, March 8, 2016.
To streamline and make more efficient new student enrollment as well as annual student registration. It has pre-K through 12th grade capabilities and can be customized to each school district's business policy, and policy requirements. Other benefits of using InfoSnap are that it would give our district accurate real-time and on-demand data through ParaSchool, and it maintains up-to-date accurate data for mandatory reporting that districts are required to do. So the bottom line of it is a registration process which can save the district money, time, and resources, both people and material resources. So we were presented with that, and I guess we'll be voting on that next meeting or two meetings. The next report was on math acceleration, which was presented by from the administration, Mr. Gerald Arms, and we had also he was joined by a math teacher, Ms. Sarah Putterman. The accelerated math program, the math report, included some background information on Cheltenham's accelerated math program, the rationale for the proposed revisions, plus the approved math roadmap. Part of the rationale includes new research indicating that there's a trend towards less content, but content is taught more thoroughly. Also, the research indicated that in-depth teaching along the same line is preferable just to speed and just getting a lot, just getting a lot done and not really teaching in depth to the students. It also reports that most students should not be taking algebra before high school. And where was that when I was going to school? And also placing students in tracks too early, math tracks too early should be avoided so that children don't get placed out of programs that would, expose to things that would really benefit them. It was noted that current practices do not support equal access to accelerated math. Goals recommended and illustrated in the presentation include ensuring rigorous grade level instruction to implement practical course progression and to establish accurate placement criteria. We were given immediate costs presented through 2016 that amounted to $8,000 with an ongoing cost projected to be $3,400 per year. Some next steps in this effort include developing rubrics, guidelines, and collaboration with teachers and instructional leadership team. And the timeline calls for presenting a final course sequence to this board for approval in May of 2016. We then also received a website update from Director of Communication, Susan O'Grady, who led the presentation of our district's renewed website. With updated and reimagined graphics, it is more user-friendly and informative. And for those who haven't yet gotten on the website at cheltenham.org, you should do so. It is beautiful. It is much more user-friendly. It has, it's very easy to navigate. It has a tremendous amount of information on it. And going back to what Dr. Marseille said earlier in the evening, and what our student representatives were talking about, we have a tremendous amount of very exciting things that our kids are accomplishing, and this website has given them much more visibility and voice. So I encourage people to go to cheltenham.org. It will answer a lot of questions you might have about all of our buildings, our personnel, about the strategic plan, which I will talk about next. There was a strategic plan update, which was given by our superintendent, Dr. Wagner Marseille, and Ms. Karen Schaffran. They presented an update of the work in progress in this complex district-wide effort to create a new strategic plan to help guide our work for the next 5 years and beyond. The members of the strategic plan team are operating within 5 targeted goals, including student achievement, curriculum instruction, holistic experiences, professional learning, as well as communications and engagement. Working with the Bloom Group, the strategic plan that is leading this discussion, The strategic plan is a collaboration of more than 100 district educators, non-educator residents, students, and parents to help set goals, priorities, and guideposts to align our efforts to the common purpose of helping each child receive the highest quality education we can possibly deliver. Going back to the website, the strategic plan information about it, about who's on it, about what it's doing, and about progress reports are on the website, easy to find, very easy to read, great information. And if you're interested in what's happening with the strategic plan and where it will be taking us, you can find that here. You'll find it on the website. The next Educational Affairs Committee meeting will be held on Tuesday, March 15th, next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. in room 119 here in the administration building, and of course, as a building to the public. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rackow.
Thank you, Mr. Rackow. I wanted to provide some clarification to the community with regards to the math acceleration, and I received a large number of emails from parents who were concerned about our intentions and whether or not what we were thinking about would unintentionally deny access and opportunity for students. And I really appreciate and I'm happy that parents really feel comfortable with it in terms of contacting the superintendent saying, I'd love to meet with you, though I was not there or I was there, I'd like to get more clarification. So I want to say to those parents in large community that I want to thank you for your comments, and it's been some time, but we're still trying to schedule meetings with you, so I haven't forgotten. But I want to lower the level of anxiety a little bit and say this, that in light of our attempts to think about the large number of students in our district who are double accelerated, who are having tremendous difficulty in that coursework based on quantitative data, we thought that we might have to look at this very differently, and with the state's new guidelines in terms of what they believe every student should be receiving, and that the rigor of an accelerated program that we normally would call accelerated, the state had said that should be for every student. So whatever was happening in accelerated math, every student should be having that that experience because the standards have changed. So what I want to say is that in light of the large number of questions that I want to tell our parents and our guardians that we have no intentions of denying access or opportunity for those high achieving students, far from that, but I do realize that there needs to be much broader conversation with our community and parents to clarify that. So there are no decisions that have been made, will be made until we have much larger conversation and try to address some of those opportunities, and rest assured to those parents and others who may have heard that that is not the intention of this administrative team is to deny access and opportunity to any student, let alone those who have shown the prerequisite skills needed to be advanced.
Thank you, Dr. Marseille. Facilities, Mrs. Gray.
The Facilities Committee met on Tuesday, March the 1st. There were three agenda items, which the main agenda item was the presentation that Dr. Bobby just did on the construction routes for Cedar Brook. Related to that, there were two other items, the first being testing and inspection proposal for Cedar Brook. And this includes testing and inspections of soil, asphalt work, concrete reinforcement, cast in place concrete, structural steel, and steel roof decking. Six RFPs were sent out, of which three were received. And tonight, we have an action item that awarded the bid to the lowest responsible bid. Next item on the agenda was for insurance, the Cedar Brook construction project. We received insurance quotes from our four main prime contractors, and we also received a quote from from Odor Control Insurance Program. This program allows us to have a single policy and scope of work, and covers workers' compensation, safety, liability, and loss arising from the project materials and handling of clinics. And again, that's an action item that is going to be voted on. So with that said, I'm going to move to the two action items. The first, approval of testing and inspection bid. The administration recommends the lowest responsible firm, UVA Associates, to perform the testing and inspections for Cedarbrook Middle School project for a total amount of $115,073. $115,073. And the second item is approval of construction project. The administration recommends the lowest responsible bidders to complete the Cedarbrook Middle School construction project. Contractors and the related amounts as listed for total construction cost of $43,603,800. And the last item is approval of project insurance costs. The administration recommends the lowest responsible firm, OCIP, to provide insurance for Cedarbrook Middle School project for a total amount of $1,063,710.
Mr. Ackow, Mr. Fishbein, any board discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Thank you, Mrs. Gray. Liaison committee, that's my report. The committee has not met since its last meeting approximately 6 weeks ago. We will have a meeting on Monday, March 14th, 8 a.m. here in this building, in room 119. That is open to the public. And I apologize for my mistake. Personnel committee.
Yes, thank you. The personnel committee last met also again on Tuesday, March 1st. This meeting was at 8:30 a.m. Again, it was a relatively short meeting. We began with, as Mr. Bruce mentioned, a executive session on personnel. We followed that up with public sessions on two agenda items. One was to review largely what you will see in front of you, which is the personnel, I think what we call it, the personnel administrative report agenda items. We did spend some particular conversation discussing the wonderful candidates for our assistant superintendent and other administrators. We also spent some time talking about some of those positions that you will see in here are being ratified for employment. Again, they have been engaged through the district prior to voting, and again, as we mentioned in our last meeting, that is due to just specific circumstances for those roles. We then moved the conversation to policy agenda items, which will be covered in the policy committee, that had to do with the personnel committee, the pertinent ones were the policy language regarding ratification. And then there was one other policy that speaks to just the requirement of managers, employees, and things to track and manage their overtime. I will save those items for the policy committee update, but it was a relatively efficient and brief meeting, and I think we have action items other than the personnel agendas. Our next meeting is, again, Tuesday, April 5th. It will be a busy board day at 8:30 in the morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. I'll keep in this Haywood. I do the heart attack there. It's interesting. I have Mr. Nelson and Ms. Haywood on both pages. They pull one after the other, and they had it flipped over. No, it's so I do apologize for the heart attack policy committee, Ms. Haywood.
No, I got over
my
heart attack. The policy committee, last time I was February 25th, 2016. After roll call approval of the minutes from January 28th, we went straight to our business, which we have a lot of. But first, I'd like to thank Mr. Bruce and Ms. Haven, who provide after each meeting a summary of the policies that are discussed during the meeting, the ones going forward for first or second read, and a description of those policies that were discussed. I will be referring to that during my presentation this evening. The first policy we discussed was 248.1, prohibited harassment by and of students, which is being presented this evening to the board as a second reading. This policy has been updated as part of the ongoing initiative to make complaint procedures consistent throughout the district. Since the first reading of this policy, there were several recommended changes for clarification of what constitutes harassment, as well as the definition of the policy. Similarly, policy 348.1, 448.1, and 548.1, which is prohibited harassment by employees and other members of the school community, again, complementary policies, each representing different collective bargaining units. Again, consistent with policy 248.1, these policies were also updated to make clarifications in terms of what constitutes harassment and to amendments to the policy. Again, policy 348.1, 448.1, and 558.1 are also being presented this evening for second week. And then based on comments from the last policy committee meeting, Administrative Regulation 219, which is the student complaint process, was updated to more clearly explain the process for a student to follow when following a complaint pursuant to policy 248.1. The committee had no further changes, and AR 219 will now be posted on the district website. There were several new policies that were discussed during the policy committee, including several that will be presented this evening for first reading. Policy 001, name and classification, is really an updated policy in light of the request of the Department, Pennsylvania Department of Education to change our district's name, which formerly was the School District of Cheltenham Township, to now more succinctly say Cheltenham School District. This policy is being brought this evening to the board for first reading, and again, it's subject to PDE approval. Once PDE approval is received, any policies as they come up to for review during policy committee will be updated with the new policy, our new school district name. Also presented for first reading this evening is policy 303, 403, and 503. Employment of administrative professional classified employees. This, as Mr. Nelson pointed out earlier, is a policy that the board discussed both in the personnel committee meeting as well in the policy committee, that allows the board to ratify employment hires that are needed to be made by the superintendent for emergency reasons. This policy consolidates current policies 303, 403, and 503 into one policy within accompanying administrative regulation. The next policy was policy 510, which addressed overtime within accompanying AR, which establishes guidelines and procedures for approval and payment for overtime. Next was policy, we were very busy, as you can tell. The next was policy 304, 404, and 504. Resignations by employees and related AR were also discussed. This formalizes the process for accepting resignations and authorizes the superintendent to accept resignations without board approval to facilitate replacement of resigning employees. This policy will be brought back next month with additional changes that were discussed during the meeting with the accompanying AR. Next was policy 360. They may be a little out of order, but condense them together. 460, 560, and 860, addressing maintaining appropriate boundaries with students, also had an accompanying AR. It sets forth expectations for professional, moral, and ethical relationships between district staff and other adults with district students that are conducive to a safe learning environment. This policy with the related AR will also be brought back to the policy committee next month as the AR itself needed to be completed. The last policy that was discussed during the policy meeting was policy 258, transgender and gender non-conforming students with an accompanying AR, which also seeks to provide an equal opportunity to all students to participate in programs offered in schools regardless of gender, gender identity, and gender expression. This policy puts the district in parity in compliance with the recent case that addressed this issue. Again, this policy will be brought back to the policy committee at the next meeting, again, as the AR is completed for that particular policy. So I think we'll bring a motion to bring forward for second reading policy 248.1, prohibited harassment by and of students. And I'll take this as questions because they're all here. Policy 248.1, 438.1, and 548.1. And that's prohibited harassment by and of students and other members of the community. And finally, policy
359
and 529.
Aye.
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 And aye. Okay, and we're going to go first reading of the policy. Noting for the board and the committee, noting the first reading of policy 001, name of classification, policy 303, 403, 503, employment of administrative professional and classified employees, and policy 510, overtime. The next meeting of the policy committee is March 31st at 7 p.m. And it's open to the public.
Mr. Stigley. Legislative report. Mr. Stigley.
Moving right along, the County School Legislative Committee met on February 11th, just 2 days after Governor Wolf's presentation of the proposed 2016 budget to the General Assembly. Senator Art Haywood, representing the 4th Legislative District, was the guest speaker at the February meeting. Senator Haywood expressed support for Governor's proposed budget and provided some perspective on approximately $2.8 billion in revenue Pennsylvania has left on the table related to current corporate tax rates. He urged constituents to count after elected officials to advocate for the full taxes of the 2015-16 budget, and we know that that's been partially approved, but has not been fully passed, as well as supporting proposed $33.1 billion proposed budget for 2016-2017, which is a $2.2 billion increase over the proposed 2015-16 budget. Last month, I provided a fairly high-level some highlights of the proposed 2016-2017 budget. That included associated increases of approximately $200 million for basic education funding, $50 million for special education funding, $60 million for pre-K counts and Head Start, some of which Mr. England has indicated the NCOU has gotten released from the 2016 budget. And then proposed savings to school districts based on charter and hybrid charter, proposed. To pay for these funding increases, Governor Wolf outlined revenue increases that included the sales and use tax, which would be effective April 1st. This tax would be on basic cable, digital downloads and movie theater tickets, a cigarette tax free, a tax on wholesale prices of other tobacco products, personal income tax, and a severance tax on natural gas. This is all as a way to generate approximately $218 million for supplemental general education funding. This House and Senate Appropriations Committee commits hearings on February 22nd, with the most recent hearing by the Department of Education. I think it was today, earlier today, in two hearings in front of the Appropriations Committee. And we're gathering testimony about the proposed governor's budget. Again, the budget should be passed at some point this year, but again, we're still waiting for the 2015-16 budget to be fully passed. So I always try to kind of have us understand what this really means for us as a school district. So again, as Mr. Nelson had indicated earlier, today we've received approximately $7.3 million of the budget, $20.3 million in anticipated state funding. Despite the reduction in state funding, our cash flow remains steady, but we will continue to monitor the impact increased state funding will have on our county budget and our future budget plan. As Mr. England, even as we shared earlier, on March the 14th, there will be a group of people from the Montgomery County Immediate Unit who will be going up to Harrisburg to meet with legislators about both the 2014 and 2016 budget, as well as the current proposed budget. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Ms. Haywood. Okay, now we are into administrative reports. Personnel, Ms. Haywood.
Thank you. The first three personnel items will be read as separate voting items for the board. One, appointment of assistant superintendent. Pursuant to Section 1076 of the Public School Code, it is recommended that the Board of School Directors, upon recommendation of the district superintendent, appoint Tamara Thomas Smith, EDD, to the position of assistant superintendent for a term beginning on a date to be determined and ending on June 30th, 2020. It is further recommended that the Board of School Directors approve the Assistant Superintendent Employment Agreement in the form attached.
If not the most important, is the fact that Ms. Smith is a proud mom of twins who currently attend the University of Pennsylvania. She is an international host parent who currently is hosting and has been for many years, but currently hosting a 72-year-old student from Beijing, who she is a mother to and has been for several years of students who come to the States to study. She has an 11-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son. She approaches that work through the lens of a parent, a teacher, an administrator, and helping support all students. As I got to know Dr. Smith, our careers kind of started around the same time, a year apart, where she started teaching as a substitute teacher in 97. I started in 96 as an instructional aide. Both of us fell in love with the position and decided that that's something we wanted to do. Very quickly, she became a model teacher. And what that means is that she was recognized for her accomplished teaching, and that her classroom became a model where other teachers and administrators would come and use that as an exemplar. And like many great educators who are doing great things, her career is a list of accomplishments where people were tapping her on the shoulder saying, if you can do it here, can you come and do it at larger scale? So she's moved from the classroom and was tasked to lead professional development and facilitate new teacher training around literacy, social studies, and humanities. From there, she was tapped on the shoulder and said, since you're doing a good job, we want you to come and be our dean of students and our athletic director. So she did that extremely well. And then she was asked to participate in the District of Philadelphia's residency principal program, where they identify accomplished leaders to go through a full year of embedded residency program, where she had the opportunity to be identified as a turnaround specialist, someone who has the skill set needed to turn schools around and turn systems around. And when she was tapped on the shoulder to be the principal at her old elementary school, in 2 years she turned that school around and they were successful in reaching what is old AYP now, school performance profile. When her success resonated around the district, she was tapped on the shoulder again and asked to lead a high-functioning magnet school, where 85% of the students were proficient in advanced, and was asked to move them from good to great, and create infrastructure that supported that work. From there on, she was tapped to say, there's a tremendous amount of work and leadership and commitment needed at the Chester Upland School District, where she was tapped on the shoulder to say, we need you to come in and support and help our district. From there, she, in the 3 years that she was there, has showed tremendous abilities to turn around the culture, implement a new schedule, think about positive behavior interventions, increase attendance, support the STEM Academy that currently is in place right now. She supervises the technology department, the assessment department, the principals, the assistant principals, the federal programs, accountability, and the list goes on and on and on. So I am extremely happy and to share this very unique mind with the board and with our community, and excited to be having her on our administrative team, and look for many, many years of great outcomes as we lay out what the next 5 to 10 years will look like for Chubb. And so with that, thank you, and you're welcome.
Good evening, everyone. As stated, my name is Tamara Thomas-Smith. I really don't have much left over to say. Wonderful introduction, but I would like to say that I'm looking forward to the opportunity and the privilege to work with and work for the families, the children, and the community of the Shelbyham School District. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
The next motion, two, appointment of Administrator A. The administration recommends the appointment of Raymond Realty as Supervisor of Counseling, Holistic Support, and K-12 Testing, Administration Building, CASA Classification, at an annual 2015-2016 salary of $100,000 prorated to be hired provisionally pending statutory requirements effective April
18, 2016. Right now, Ms. Hayward. Any board comment or question? Call the vote, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, Dr. Marseille, Ms. Michaels, Mr. Ruse, and all those gathered here tonight. I am honored to introduce Mr. Raymond Wielding Jr. to the Shelbyham School District as our new Supervisor of Counseling, Holistic Supports, and K-12 Testing. Let me share some highlights about his career. Currently, he oversees the counseling department at Bowles High School in Philadelphia. He has worked in the field of school counseling for over 10 years and has worked closely with the middle and high school student population. He has a passion and commitment to assist us with creating a student-centered learning environment. He has experience in coordinating the administration of standardized tests, such as the SATs, ACTs, PSSAs, and the Keystone exams. He also has served as a high school class sponsor and has assisted with the planning of all year-end activities for the graduating seniors at his current school. Mr. Wielding is currently pursuing a doctorate degree in educational leadership at Arcadia University. Mr. Wielding will assist the district with addressing the academic, career, social, and emotional development needs of our students. He also will assist us with coordinating parent engagement opportunities and reviewing our utilization of Yoga's bullying prevention program, restorative practices, mindfulness, and positive behavior supports as we seek to address the holistic needs of our students. So Mr. Wielding, welcome to Shelbyham School District. We all look forward to working with you.
Of $175,000 for the assistant superintendent between Dr. Thomas's start date and June 30th, 2016, that would be prorated. And then for the fiscal year 2016-2017, it would be the $175,000.
Thank you. That's Dr. Smith.
Dr. Smith,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes, thank you. Please.
And the next administrator motion, appointment of Administrator B. The administration recommends the appointment of Brandon Lutz as Supervisor of Instructional Technology, Administration Building, CASA classification at an annual 2015-2016 salary of $105,000 prorated to be hired provisionally pending statutory requirements effective April 1, 2016.
Second. Mr. Kennedy, any board comments or questions? Call the vote.
Aye.
Mr. Maroon, do you? Thank you.
Absolutely. Congratulations. Good evening. I'm just going to go over some quick highlights of Mr. Lutz and his experience. Mr. Lutz comes to us from the Bucks County Intermediate Union, where he served as a technology application specialist, supporting 13 school districts and three technical schools in the integration of technology in the classroom to enhance student achievement. Prior to the Bucks County Intermediate Unit, Mr. Lutz served as an elementary computer science teacher in the School District of Philadelphia. In 2009, Brandon was asked to serve as an instructional coach for the district. In this capacity, Brandon coached thousands of teachers in over 27 schools to integrate technology into their classroom. Brandon has been an active member of the Pennsylvania Association of Education, Communication, and Technology since 2008. In 2016, Brandon began his term as PAECT president. In 2009, Brandon created and presented the famous 60 and 60, 60 web tools and 60-minute presentations. Since that time, 60 and 60 has become a trademark presentation has been delivered to standing room only crowds at national and international venues. We're really excited to have Mr. Lutz here tonight. We can't wait to get him in the classroom to talk data, to talk instruction technology, to talk curriculum. Welcome to the board. I just want to say thank you for this amazing opportunity. I look forward to working with everybody on this important with students and teachers. Thanks again.
And the balance of the personnel agenda is a consent agenda. 3, approval of resignations A through F. 4, acceptance of leave of absence A and B. 5, approval of salary adjustment A. 6, appointment of long-term substitute teachers A and B. 7, appointment of support staff, A through H. 8, approval of changes in position, A and B. 9, appointment of homebound instructors, A. 10, appointment of curriculum writing staff, A. And 11, approval of the extra duty, extra pay, A.
So
have a motion, please.
So
comments or questions? Call the vote, please.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. David. And we have moving along. Ed Affairs, please. Official Affairs.
Thank you. I'd like to move through, I think, agenda item 1A, approval of conferences for State Athletic Directors Association, National Council of Teachers and Mathematics Conference, A through F, Department of Education Summit, A through B, Tech Talk Live, A, approval of Educational Services Agreement, A, approval of contract for student placement, A, and approval for contract for
psychological services A, and approval of volunteers A.
So moved. Second. Mr. Nelson, Mr. Malloy, any board comment or question? Call the vote, please.
Aye.
Thank you, Dr. Massey. And financial affairs, Ms. Michaels.
Thank you. We're requesting approval as a consent agenda. One, approval of 2015-16 budget transfers A as submitted. Two, approval of payments A as listed. Three, MCIU fuel oil bid A. Four, authorization to submit plan con F attachment C A. Five, authorization to execute land development and financial security agreement with Cedar Brook Middle School A. Six, authorization to execute declaration of restrictions and covenants for Cheltenham Elementary School A.
So moved. Second. Mr. Rackow, Mr. Nelson, any board comment or questions?
Could you explain just for the community what number six, the authorization to execute? I'm actually going to hand that over to Mr. Bruce. Sure, yeah, I'm happy to do that. There's a it's a compliance requirement for in order to be able to there's some background in my legal affairs update. Why don't we just speak? Discharge Elimination System, it's called an NPDES permit. In order to complete that process, there's certain plans that need to be recorded with the Office of Recorder of Deeds, including the instrument for declaration of restrictions and covenants that's being approved tonight. That's to provide notice of the presence of stormwater management facilities and ongoing maintenance responsibilities associated with such facilities on the property.
Well, that clarification. Any other questions or comments? Call the vote, please.
Aye.
Thank you. This takes us to response to prior public questions. I don't have any. This is now public comments. Cheltenham residents may come forward and give a comment or question to the board.
Good evening. Myron Goldman, Elkins Park. Today's superintendent's community update speaks to the issue, but I'm wondering if there's anything additional the superintendent might be able to share with us concerning the actions taken to end the achievement gap. Secondly, in category D of the superintendent's 2015-16 goals, goal one is to present to the board recommendations of an organizational structure that better supports the mission and vision of the district and the social, emotional, and academic needs of all students. Has the organizational structure been presented to the board and will be put online and made public? And then lastly, it's a pleasure to say that under the leadership of our superintendent, the Cheltenham School District is a great, exciting place to be. Cheltenham has a multifaceted, focused, comprehensive, multi-year plan to respond to the challenges of ending the achievement gap, responding effectively to the needs of all of our students, and expanding the existing caring, nurturing environments into all of our classrooms and all of our buildings. To succeed, the district needs to hire teachers who have the qualities that support the district's mission. Therefore, I wonder if it would be possible to develop, if it's not already been done, to develop relationships with the nearby colleges and universities that prepare teachers in order to identify graduates who have the qualities sought by the district and to then actively recruit these teachers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for representing the communication that was sent out to the community today. I know that there's a level of immediacy in addressing our achievement gap, our opportunity gap, our learning gap, and that I've shared with this community and with this board that this is a multifaceted, very deep layered set of complexities, and that there's multiple ways in which and areas that we need to address. So in the 8 months I've been in this district, I want to say I've been trying to be extremely methodical in terms of preparing for opportunities that we need to move forward with. And you're aware, all of us aware, that you can't build anything on a very weak foundation. What I mean by that is that there have been leadership gap and instructional gaps that have taken place for a very long time, for a number of reasons. And part of phase one of this process is bringing in the right individuals to support that work. And obviously, identifying those here who can help support that work as well. The achievement gap conversation continues to elude many of us across this country, and that we understand that its origins began long before they walk into our doors. But our challenge is, for those things we may not be able to control as well, what happens when they walk into our doors? What are the systems that need to be put in place? So we're developing that, and I want to be intentional in terms of building that longevity. I don't want just another program. Programs don't eliminate the achievement gap. It's like buying a reading program for $600,000 or $1 million, right? Haven't been very effective nationally in terms of closing that. It's the pedagogy inside the classroom and the professional development you provide our educators, which is something that every month people see, and the board approves a tremendous amount of learning experiences. And those experiences are commitment to understanding that our biggest asset is our classroom teachers, and that we want to extend their not only content knowledge, but their pedagogical knowledge as well. With regards to the recommendation for organizational structure, we've begun that conversation. I will be presenting to the board very soon a structure that I believe prepares us for the future and the challenges that we have to face. Part of that kind of started already with the board's approving that, but there are some other shifts that need to take place to set us up for success, and I look forward to sharing that with the board, and that's coming really soon, and that will be shared with the public. And you raised another interesting point about how colleges and universities are preparing the next generation of teachers, and that continues to be a national conversation that teacher organizations, administrator organizations are really working hard at, with understanding that it's not just about walking out of an undergrad or a graduate degree with a degree or a master's in teaching math or teaching science. There's a lot more complexity to that. And part of that is, how do we help our universities think about how to better prepare our teachers for the students that are going to be sitting in front of them? Vastly different. What we are committed to and working on with our neighboring schools, Arcadia and Temple and others and the like, is to think about our teacher leadership programs, our student teachers,
who come and support us, redefining that role, giving feedback to colleges, universities, saying these are the skill set that school districts are looking for. Unfortunately, it's not part of your syllabus, it's not part of your curriculum, but this is what helps us support success. So we continue those collaborations, and like everything else, I've said that change can oftentimes be very difficult, and changing culture takes some time, because it took us some time to get here. We have to reverse that, but I do look forward to presenting to the board a new organizational structure, and starting with some of the positions that you've approved and some additional items that will be coming next month.
Good evening. My name is Jenny Lumman.
Can you hear me?
Okay. My name is Jenny Lumman, and I live in Glenside. I'm the parent of a son who attends fourth grade at Glenside Elementary School and a daughter who attends sixth grade at Elkins Park. I'm giving this statement tonight on behalf of the Special Education Alliance of Cheltenham. Just a little bit of background. The Special Education Alliance of Cheltenham, or SEAC, which was formerly known as the Special Needs Advocacy Group, SNAG, I think people are glad that we've changed our name, was created in 2003 by and for caregivers of children with disabilities in Cheltenham School District. SEAC's members are committed to advocating for support and education to create a school community in which all children are equally engaged, respected, and academically challenged. Over the years, SNAG, now SEAC, has provided hundreds of trainings, supported dozens of community meetings, and offered special education resources to the Cheltenham community. SEAC felt that this was kind of a prime time to give a statement to the board, the full board, given all the educational initiatives that have been proposed or are starting to take root in the district, to ensure that children with disabilities are included in those initiatives, thoughtfully included in those initiatives. Because as you know, the district enrolls approximately 4,600 students, and about 13.5% of those students, around 620, receive special education services through an individualized education program. Obviously not an insignificant number of students. Yet, SEAC's experience has been that these students have generally been marginalized and left behind in the district. Through its years of work in the district, SEAC has identified four main concerns that we believe the district must address immediately. And that being said, we know the district is starting to take steps to address some of these concerns, but we wanted to kind of put it out there as to what we have seen over the years. First of all, students with disabilities are not being educated with their non-disabled peers in general education settings and extracurricular activities to the maximum extent appropriate, using the full array of supplementary aids and services, such as assistive technology, counseling services, and behavioral support services that are actually provided by the district and not from some contracted entity that maybe comes into the district 0.2 hours a week. Number two, students with disabilities are failing to make reasonable academic progress. For instance, on the spring 2015 PSSAs, only 19% of the district's 5th and 6th grade students with IEPs met statewide academic standards for English and language arts, and only 9% of the district's 5th and 6th grade students with IEPs met statewide academic standards for math. Those statistics are personal to me because my daughter has an IEP for learning disabilities. And last year, when she took the 5th grade PSSA, she did not reach proficiency in either math or English and language arts. In fact, her PSSA scores keep getting worse as the years progress. And that has had an impact on the opportunities that she has been offered, while on the opposite end of things, my son, who has now scored advanced on math and English language arts, his educational opportunities in the district are blossoming. He's in the district's challenge program with a gifted IEP, and he's been receiving STEM projects. He's been able to do all kinds of interesting projects with building computers, writing reports on technology, lots of things that my daughter and many other students would benefit from, but she does not have access to that Instead, because she scores poorly on the PSSAs and other tests that the district gives to PLACE students, she is in a basic math class at EP where she receives no homework, while her student, her friends who are in accelerated and double accelerated math receive much homework and much more support. Same thing with her English language arts class. Her friends who receive challenge or sync work get pulled out and they receive extra books to read and writing assignments. I haven't seen her receive one writing assignment at home this year. Not one. Maybe she does them in class, but I haven't seen them. So I can see as his opportunities widen, her opportunities contract. And so that is personally to me what I've seen. Number three, the district is failing to appropriately evaluate and identify students who are suspected of having disabilities, causing the district to over-identify certain groups of students as needing special education and under-identify others. And finally, the district is failing to train and welcome parents as full partners in the development of students' individualized education programs. Additional data to support these concerns will be submitted with a statement for the record. We have also set out six goals, which we will also submit. We would very much like to work and partner with the district to have a wealth of parents in this district who have a lot of experiences that can help the district learn how to communicate and engage parents in the special education process. Thank you.
Bill, can I submit? Who do I give it to? Right here, the board secretary, please. Thank you, Mr. Norman.
Thank you for your comments. Myself and Dr. Gallagher have been meeting with SEEK and in terms of trying to build a much stronger coalition. These four core areas that were addressed to us today was not new to myself and Dr. Gallagher as we try to wrestle with that. It pains me to repeat those statistical outcomes, and though I know that our students are significantly more than just test scores, I think it's fair to say that there is a tremendous amount of growth that is needed. And part of this work and ensuring that there is a subgroup of students based on almost every indicator are being marginalized. But we need to do better, and the data speaks to that. We are going to turn that tide. I know that I've had a conversation with SEEK, and they've been extremely disappointed in terms of, we talk about this a lot. We've been talking about this for a long time. You're not the first superintendent who said this too. It just seems like when there hasn't been that type of ongoing momentum. Unfortunately, there's plenty of evidence to support their claim for that. So we are going to make a tremendous amount of additional investment. And that investment doesn't always necessarily mean more cash, but it does mean a much more significant investment in the way in which we provide supports for our students. We need a meaningful systemic research-based intervention model that supports learners. We need a universal design for learning that helps our educators understand how to reach all students, and that high expectations should be the hallmark and standard for every single student. And the fact that you are in an enriched class, I still have, I'm having difficulty understanding what that is, I'll be honest, in the 8 months I've been here. I understand AP. I don't understand the enriched terminology. That shouldn't create a set of barriers where people have a set of expectations to say, you don't need to push yourself. It's okay that you are here. And that's unacceptable, we need to shift that. So I want to thank you for your comments.
bitter pills to swallow in here, but needed in terms of the shifts that we need to make. So thank you. Please, Ms. Harper.
Good evening. I'm Paul Jackson from Mountain Smart. It was not my intention to come here today. It was just my intention to just kind of see what was going on. However, I listened to two of my community members. One gentleman, he talked a lot about achieving a gap, and the lady who just left who was from SNCC. And I need to really add to that, from a personal experience with my children and my adoptive nephew, who I have custody of, who are all within the district. She's right on point as relates to EP. E2 is an EP. E2 is has an individual education plan. I too see the gap where he comes home and he has no clue what has just happened in school the entire day. I found that more times than not, he's being fed answers and then he's given small clusters of questions and answer time. And then when he gets home, because he's being fed those answers, he has no clue what he learned, because he didn't learn anything. Which I think is part of the achievement gap. This achievement gap we've been talking about since my daughter, who is now in 11th grade. We've been talking about that since she was in EP herself. This has been an ongoing conversation. A lot of cookie cutter answers. That at what point does the board or someone say, you know what, no more talking. Like I said, my daughter's in 11th grade. We've been talking about this since EP, the achievement gap. And now the whole IEP experience. All of this is contributing to the problem. And so my question, like I said, I had no intention of coming up here, but I heard these two people speak, and it just moved me to come up here. At what point do we stop the rhetoric and really make some serious changes within the Cheltenham School District? And that includes from pre-K, which I guess now we're going to get some type of funding, if you will. Et cetera, et cetera. And I'm a parent who's very involved. I've been involved from the day they were born. And I'm always involved. So to hear these conversations, and absolutely no disrespect at all to Dr. Marseille, I hear your vision, I hear what you're saying, and it all sounds good. But quite frankly, as a community member, with now four children who are going through the district and a nephew, I keep hearing the same thing. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments and all the comments. I hear you and I understand. If there's ever been a time for action, the time is now. And I believe in the board's commitment in identifying and supporting resources to get those in place. I know it's been a long time for many people, individuals who have children who've gone through this district who say, well, I've heard this 7 years ago, 8 years ago, but I'm going to need a little bit more time to change culture and change practice and some sustainability so that it's not a revolving door here in terms of nothing ever sticks because every 11 months someone has an idea and then they're nowhere to be seen after that. And that's not the type of infrastructure that we're going to build. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Eric Chino from Glenside. I'd just like to talk to you about maybe the students' technology band at the high school. I have a sophomore and a senior there, and part of Division I athletics with the requirements of NCAA, the student can contact coach or somebody at the school. They cannot reach back to them until their junior year. So as a sophomore, we were afforded the opportunity with our senior that she was able to communicate with her phone in with the guidance counselor, Ms. Cohen. and it allowed her to contact coaches. So to help with the process for a kid that won 5'3" and 100 pounds soaking wet, be competitive, trying to get that scholarship versus other kids across the country that we're trying to get. So we were fortunate enough for her, the older one, to get a scholarship, Lehigh. And with one of the academics here at Cheltenham, she was afforded a great opportunity, and we were thankful for Cheltenham for that. I'm a little concerned about our younger one getting the same opportunity to go for marketing and with these coaches, because they can't respect them. We can't figure out if they're interested or not. So we've tried to use Scott Lair as a communicator to get feedback, but our older daughter had success with the phone along with Cohen in her office, and we're wondering if there could be an amendment to your technology ban to allow her to use it with their guidance counselor that supports some variation. I'm sure there's performing arts people looking for scholarships and other people, but athletically, we're just looking to see if we can have an amendment that allow them to use it as the guidance counselor at high school. Because she's telling me she can't. So can't. She said, well, my daughter, my younger one, said she cannot
use her
cell phone at all.
Okay.
So we're just wondering if there'd be an amendment to that with her guidance counselor, that they could use to contact those coaches on time.
Yeah, sure. She wants to go into her guidance counselor's office and engage in that conversation, yes. The students are allowed to, in the cafeteria, access their phones.
Oh, you made it sound like you couldn't use it.
Yeah, no.
Oh, well then I'm sorry.
Sorry. Sorry. No, that's all right. Yeah, sure.
All right. Seeing no more comments, as for a motion to adjourn. So moved. All in favor?
Yeah.
Thank you.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivations 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.